Good evening, everybody. It's nice to see everybody out. And I've often wondered whenever preachers first get up and they say, sort of bleakly, it's great to see everyone out. I'm sort of realizing whenever I look out, it's a lot easier if there's only three or so people that were asleep instead of everybody coming out to hear you. So tonight we're going to look at spiritual gifts. And it is really nice to see all the young people out today because this is more geared for them than for older or elderly folk. I'm just going to try to touch on most of the spiritual gifts that we could possibly have, just so we know what they are. And it's mostly just an encouragement for others, if you know what your spiritual gift is, to study it harder, because I'm sure there's lots you don't know about your gift that will help you. And if you don't know what your gift is, this could be a little bit of insight into what it actually is. And I was thinking about spiritual gifts because of the body of Christ. I had sort of intended to speak more on the body of Christ, but I'm realizing that spiritual gifts are sort of what make the body of Christ work. It's how we reach out and how we sort of operate. So I guess tonight we're going to just touch on most of the spiritual gifts, and we'll just open up in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this evening that we can all come out and learn something more about you. I pray that we'll all take something away from this message and we'll be able to apply it in our lives. I pray that that you'll give me strength to make my thoughts clear and that everyone will be able to interpret what I'm trying to say. I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. In your holy and precious name, amen. So first, we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. For I say, though the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Then, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. In ministry, let us use in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All right, so we'll just, we saw a few different gifts there, and the first one that we saw was prophecy. So I tried to the best of my ability to look up most of these gifts in Greek, so I was getting the root word. So it wasn't just the translation, but how the Greeks would have taken it. So a prophecy, the definition of that is a prediction of things to come, which is no surprise. That one's pretty obvious. And we'll look just for a quick second for more about prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 5. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in spirit he speaks mystery, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you all prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So we see here that Paul thinks very highly of this gift. Because of this gift, it gives us direction. Without it, we wouldn't really know what was coming, and it also gives us hope. We know because of prophecy, such as the one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that whenever we die, we're going to heaven and that the Lord's coming back for those who are still on earth. So that would be an example of a prophecy. So I don't think any of us have that gift at this time. I think that one's sort of expired, but there's lots of prophecies that are in the Bible, and because of these, we have comfort and direction. And an example of someone who had that gift in the New Testament would be John in Revelation. You see lots of really deep prophecies that we won't be able to understand until they're actually happening for the most part. And the next gift that's mentioned here is ministry. And ministry is simply those who serve. And so as the body of Christ, we're all serving one another. Everything's working together to help each other out. So without our shoulder, our hands wouldn't move. So because of ministry, we all have our own ministry. So we're all called to serve as the body of Christ. And just some small examples of that just in the church would be simple things such as the nursery and Awana and youth group and even camp. All those are ministries that we can partake in. The next one listed is teaching. And teaching is an instructor. So this would be someone with the ability to clearly explain God's word. And I'll just give a quick example. Leonard, I hope you don't mind, but whenever a couple years ago, a bunch of us young men would go to Leonard's, and Leonard was able to quite clearly show us what God's word meant, things that we couldn't necessarily understand for ourselves, not because we couldn't, but just because we didn't have the same experience as Leonard. So just an encouragement for other people with experience and wisdom that it'd be nice to take aside a young man or two and just share with them some things that you've learned from the Bible. And we also need to be teachers at home. Just because we might necessarily have the gift of teaching up at the pulpit or however we go about it, but we also need to be teachers at home. So we are responsible for teaching our family. If our wife or kids or anyone like that has questions, we need to be able to answer them or to be able to look in the Bible to find them. Children learn from their parents. We watch them growing up, so we learn everything they do, and we take away from that. So we need to make sure that we're teaching our kids, so that whenever they grow up, they'll know the right way. And next, we'll look at exhortation. So this would be to comfort, console, or encourage, and this would be someone who positively encourages. So this would include things like visiting widows or the sick or elderly or discouraged. Paul was able to both encourage and correct in a lot of his gospels. He'd tell churches what he was doing right, what they were doing right, and then he'd go further and tell them what they were doing wrong and things they could improve on. So that would be an example of exhortation. We'll also look at next, giving. So this would be a believer who supports God's work. It'd be the act of supporting God's work. And I'd like to think of this in the body of Christ, sort of like the veins. Our veins carry things that our body needs out to where they need to go. So it supplies our fingers with blood and things like that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be money that's given, but it could be time or materials, but things like that. Without the person giving it, without the veins, our fingers wouldn't be able to work. So without some money and material, missionaries wouldn't be able to preach the gospel the way they could if they had to work for themselves. And next on the list here is leading, and I'm also going to put in administration in the same definition here. And this is it's just simply meaning to guide. So this would be people that lead the church, such as the elders. They have to make sure that we're focused on the truth and not false teaching. They need to make sure that they're pointing the church in the correct direction. Whenever a difficult situation arises, they need to make sure that they're choosing the right way, such with the stands on divorce or abortion, big issues like that. They need to make sure that the church knows the correct way to go. The next one is mercy. And this would be someone who's good at showing compassion. So someone who can show sympathy. So it could be someone who's good at just listening to someone with problems. They're just there to try to ease the pain of those suffering. They're just there for them. They're the shoulder to cry on. They're supposed to do with cheerfulness, trying to cheer up the believer who's struggling with whatever circumstances they're dealing with. And for our next portion of scriptures, we'll look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. And we'll read the first 11 verses here. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So we see again here that the Holy Spirit has bestowed some of these gifts upon us, and we're to use them. And we'll just again look at this new list of gifts mentioned here. So first we see word of wisdom. And this would simply be the ability to understand God's word and will, and be able to apply it. And we'll just look quickly at James chapter 3, verse 13. And it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom." So this is just a extra little blurb on wisdom. It's telling us that we need to make sure that whenever we're doing our works, that we're staying meek, whether it's with wisdom. So if someone's up here and they're preaching and they're doing a really great job, and they know it, and they're puffed up, that's not the way it's supposed to work. They're supposed to be wise and meek at the same time. We look at an example of that in Jesus. See, he was the wisest man who ever lived, and he was so meek that you wouldn't believe it. So we'll look next at the word of knowledge. And that's the ability to understand God's words. And we'll just look quickly for an example of that in Ephesians 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've already briefly written, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So we see from this that Paul, through knowledge, was able to understand the deep mysteries of Christ, and he's able to share them with others. Other people with this gift would probably include people who write Bible commentaries and books. They are able to glean very deep things from the Bible. We'll look now at faith. And faith is just reliance on God. So we see people who are able to rely on God through difficult circumstances. And this might, I have just a quick example of this. I read it in one of William MacDonald's books. There was just an orphanage, and there was a man at the head of it, and he was running it, and they ran out of food. And they didn't have any food for the next day. So whenever the next day came, the man prayed and had the table all set for the whole orphanage, and he went as far as to pray for the meal, And just at that time, the door knocked, and wouldn't you know it, here's a package come in of all kinds of powdered milk and other kinds of food for breakfast. The man didn't know they were coming, but he had faith that God would provide for his orphanage. So we see that different people have an extraordinary ability to rely on God for their needs. And then we see discernment. And that simply means to separate thoroughly. And this would be a good one for elders to have, as it requires discerning, sort of like leading. You have to discern between the truth and the false. You need to be able to, again, handle difficult situations. And next, we'll just look a little bit further into Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret, but earnestly desire the best gifts? And yet I show you a more excellent way. So we see here another list of gifts. Some of them we've already went over, so I won't go over them twice. We see first apostles, and these were the men, not necessarily all the disciples were apostles, but there were also some more. They were men that went around and sent the fundamentals for the church. So they went around preaching and setting up churches everywhere they went. They established the churches and made sure that the correct doctrine was taught. Some examples of apostles that were not disciples would be Timothy and Barnabas. They both did the work of an apostle, going around with Paul, setting up churches and making sure correct doctrine was taught. Next, we see miracles, and miracles and healing and tongues, and I'll put these all together. So miracles were performed by men with great faith. They're seemingly doing the impossible. And healing is quite simply making the sick well, and that would also be a type of miracle, as it isn't done regularly. You can't teach it. An example of this would be Paul getting bit by the snake. It's sort of a little bit of both at once. All the men of the tribe, whenever they saw Paul get bit by the snake, they expected him to die. But by a miracle, Paul just shook off the snake into the fire, and he was fine. And then there's also tongues, and that's the ability to speak a language that's foreign to yourself. So if I was up here speaking Spanish, I have no idea how to speak Spanish, but if I was up here speaking it, that'd be an example of tongues. And all three of these gifts were temporary. They're no longer in the church today. They helped to establish the church and to prove that the gospel was truth. And next we have helps, and this is the same idea as ministry. And it's simply people who enjoy sacrificing time for others. So it would be someone who likes to go help somebody move or do whatever, cut somebody's lawn, or if someone can't clean up the lawn themselves, they rake it for them. It's a way that God uses to show love to others. And we'll look also, that's pretty well all the spiritual gifts in a nutshell, and next we'll just look at love. And you might say, that's not a spiritual gift. But I noticed after reading all these sections that immediately after I'd read them, love was mentioned next. So in Romans chapter 12, the very next verse after the list of gifts was talking about love. And the whole next chapter in Corinthians is also talking about love. So we'll just read the first three verses in 1 Corinthians now. And it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but not of love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So we see here that if we aren't showing our love, then the body of Christ is sort of useless in a way. If we're not showing love, we're not showing what God has given us, because we know that because God loved us so much, he gave us his only begotten Son. And that, I think, is the greatest gift that we have ever received from God. And I'm all finished, actually, and I didn't expect to plow through it so quick. So I guess we'll just close this meeting in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this great time that we can get together and learn something new about you. I pray that everyone will go away encouraged, maybe eager to study more about the spiritual gift that they have, and that they'll go about and be able to show your love. Thank you so much again for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. In your holy and precious name, amen.